what? Is that the right number? 361. Let's do the first and second verse.
Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the author and the blood from thy wound this side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and made me pure. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no rest find, no, could my tears forever flow. All for sin could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone.
Amen. Does anybody have another favorite hymn they would like to sing? 338.
First
verse. I can hear my Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, take my cross and follow. Follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him. All the way, I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him. All the way, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him.
Yes. 504.
First and second.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. Of that old cross, deepest and best, for a world of lost sin. mind us was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen.
Maybe one more.
We have time for one more. Let's try 171.
There's something about that name written by the Gators in 1970. So, Pastor Julius is this one.
I think a lot of people already know.
Do they know this one?
Yeah.
We can sing it twice. It's just one.
Sure. Jesus, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. One more time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdom will all pass away, but something that thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much. Welcome to the House of Faith. Please sign in on the red pad that's on your pew. Welcome this Memorial Day's Eve, Pentecost Sunday. The church office will be closed on Memorial Day, but open Tuesday through Friday from 8 o'clock till noon. A birthday in May can be a delight. Most days are warm, sunny, and bright. May all your dreams and wishes come true. May you have love and happiness too. Happy birthday, April Klein. Happy birthday, Everett Pereira. Happy birthday, William Greening. Happy birthday, Gary Moline.
Yay, Gary.
Happy birthday, Susan Wamsley.
Yes, Susan. Susan's in the back, operating camera.
We are the Cereal Church. Donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other food items anytime to help. We will bring it at the end of the month so ICSC can distribute it to families in need. Second and fourth Sundays, hearts grow. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship. Parents are welcome. It's a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages, using the arts to connect us to the Creator. It's held in the children's church room. Lasagna lunch today with The Chosen at 11 o'clock a.m. This nice. Excellent series takes a historical fiction approach to get better understanding of the reality of the Roman occupation, you know, the Pax Romana, the Jewish culture, and the arrival of Jesus that turned everything upside down to bring God's kingdom to earth, which we are part of now. Amen.
Amen.
June 3rd at 11 o'clock a.m., Saturday, Jesus Revolution, the true story of a national spiritual awakening in the early 70s and its origin within a community of teenage hippies in Southern California. I guess that included Yucaipa. Amen. All right, please join us now for the call to worship. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you.
May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion.
May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings.
May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed.
Please sing hymn number 57, verses 1 through 3.
For a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, he honored up thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. His music in the sinner's ears, his life and health and a peace.
Okay, please pass the peace. Joys and concerns will follow. Zoom can unmute to speak during that time.
Peace be with you, Steve. We also recognize Helen. Helen is very, very, very faithful as usual to come and join us for worship from all the way in Chico. Good to see you, Helen. And we have Joyce and June. And I don't know whether Joyce has a sister still with her. And we have Judy. Judy is now officially 39 years old. Not 19 anymore. After the fall. And good to see you, Lois. And we have Carol and Mike on Zoom and Alicia as well.
This is definitely a joy. I don't know how many of you were here a year ago today, the Sunday before Memorial Day, when a miracle was performed on Loreen. For those of you that weren't here, I'll try to keep this brief. She had cataract surgery. The cataract surgery went well, but they saw something in her eye that they didn't like. So the surgeon sent us to a retinal surgeon. He checked her out. He didn't like what he saw either. He says, this was at Beaver Clinic, he says, we do not have the equipment here to make a definite call on this. I'm going to try to get you into UCLA Eye Center. So it took a while, but we were in here a year ago today, and she was scheduled for the following Thursday. It was a real ordeal. We were there. It took 12 hours from the time we left home until we got back. The world-famous surgeon that she finally got to see at the end of the day says, I don't understand this. Those two doctors in Redlands, I know both of them. They're very good doctors. The images we got from them and the images we got today after doing all the tests, it looks like two different people. We cannot find any sign of a tumor. Just to be sure, we want you to come back in 90 days. We're going to do the tests all over again. We went back, and hallelujah, there's still no sign of any problem. That's a true joy.
Amen. Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
I would like to ask for extra prayers for Rachel. She's doing some intense chemo, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. She's in the middle of her second set of the 2 weeks, and she's also trying to work, which isn't going so well because it's making her very sick. So please pray for her.
Hi, it's good to be back. My wife and I got in about 1 o'clock in the morning from the Philippines, and we're coming in because we've got to go to Missouri. You know, I probably heard my father had passed away, and we're going to go there for his funeral. And so just appreciate your prayers, and we love our church here, and we love all the members here, and we just want to thank you all for your prayers to this point. And we'll see you when we get back from Missouri, where we're here today. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And we all thank God for the good life that Austin's father had enjoyed. Austin was very close to his father, and he was a very, very delightful person. I had a chance to meet him when he came down for Edna's birthday, and he was like a little kid dancing really well.
And he's dancing again.
So prayers for the family as they grieve the loss.
Thank you. I'm Charles Struhl. I call Lucy Brumbaum frequently. And if you want to have a good warm heart, call her up and have a good talk over the back fence. There's a lot of things going on. So if you want to have a joy, please call Lucy. Thank you.
I called Lucy too, but she was too busy to talk with me. So then she called me back, and I was too busy to talk with her. So we still have not connected.
I'm Pat Shores. Just a quick report. Emily has gone back to work. She had taken 6 months off when she had the babies, but she's back to work, I think, all last week and this week. And she has somebody who comes in, I'm not sure if it's 5 or 6 hours a day, to be with the babies while she's working. But anyway, the babies are doing well, and thank you for all your prayers.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand.
All right, now join us for the unison prayer. I believe in God.
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those God's people God has placed in our life circle. Precious Lord Jesus, we come to you celebrating our life in you, O Lord. In spite of all the troubles and problems that we see and we individually face in our lives, we can still be joyous and celebrate because you are in our life. You are the very force that takes us into the future from all the troubles today. Because of you in our life, we have a hope for today and tomorrow. And we thank you, Lord, for this good life that you have given us. We are so blessed with you in every possible way, and we cannot thank you enough. We cannot count all the blessings we have received from you. We especially thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We may not see you, O Lord, with our naked eyes, but we can feel you. We can talk to you because the Holy Spirit indwells within our being. We can feel your presence, and we know that you are with us through the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we celebrate our life because of your presence through the Holy Spirit. We celebrate this day, the day of the birth of your church. You came upon the early church and enabled them powerfully to preach the good news of salvation to every creation. There is to be no boundaries, no language, no cultural, no national, no racial, no age boundaries, O Lord. And you have given us this gospel for us to preach. So, Lord, enable us, empower us in every possible way that we may be your disciples, proclaiming the message of salvation every chance we are given, that people may hear it, people may receive you into their hearts and into their life, that they may be saved. And we pray, O Lord, for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us belong to this church and everywhere, the believers everywhere in the world, so that there may be a great spiritual awakening and revival once more. People may be able to freely talk about their faith, their personal relationship with you, and who you are to us and to them. So we can continue to build the kingdom, your kingdom, on this earth. So we ask for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit once more upon the believers and upon your churches here in town and everywhere in the world, that we may continue to be the church that you want us to be, that we may continue to be the beacon of light, that we may shine the light to those who are in darkness, that we may preach the good news of salvation to those who haven't heard it yet. So help us, O Lord, to be the church with the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. So as we worship you this morning, O Lord, we yield to you and we yield to the power of your Holy Spirit, that we open our whole being, that the Holy Spirit may come in and control us, reign over our lives, reign over our spirit and our body and our whole being, that we may follow the call the Holy Spirit gives unto us, that we may be your disciples in the world today. So, Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, into this church, and into all your churches, and start another great spiritual awakening worldwide. As it happened on the day of Pentecost, as it happened through the Moravians and through Wesleyan brothers and through many of your servants today, we await for another spiritual awakening that'll happen in this world again. So as we invite your Holy Spirit, O Lord, we recommit ourselves to be the disciples in this world today. Use us, O Lord, as your instrument. Use us as your people, as your church, that people may know who you are, who they are, through us, through our messages and through our ministries. And as we humbly submit ourselves to carry out your will in this world today, we pray, O Lord, that you continue to use us, you continue to use this church, that your name may be magnified. So now we join our hearts and prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today we will read more from the Good Samaritan and other parables. Written by Tomi de Paola. When Jesus of Nazareth taught his disciples, he often spoke to them in simple stories called parables. The Great Feast. There was a king who prepared a wedding feast for his son, but when he sent his servants to gather the guests that had been invited, they all refused to come. Each one had an excuse. One said, "I have bought a piece of land and I must go and look it over. Please give the king my apologies." Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I want to try them out. Please tell the king I'm sorry." And a third said, "I have just gotten married. Tell the king I cannot come." The servant returned and told his master, and the king was angry. "Go out quickly," said the king, "into the streets and alleyways, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." The servant said, "We have done as you have ordered, master, but there is still room at the feast." The king replied, "Go out to the highways and along the sides of the road and make the people there come in. I want my house to be full. But I'll tell you this, not one of those who were invited shall taste my feast." The wise and foolish virgins. Once there were 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of the maidens were wise and 5 of the maidens were foolish. The foolish maidens took their lamps but didn't bring any extra oil with them. The wise maidens brought flasks of oil along with their lamps. Now it happened that the bridegroom was late in coming, so the maidens sat down to wait and they fell asleep. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." The maidens got up and trimmed their lamps. The 5 foolish maidens said, "Oh, the flames of our lamps are dying. We are running out of oil." They said to the 5 wise maidens, "Give us some of your oil." The wise maidens said, "No, there isn't enough for all of us. You had better go and buy some more oil for yourselves." And away the 5 foolish maidens ran. But while they were gone, the bridegroom arrived and the 5 wise maidens were ready. And they went in with him to the wedding feast and the door was shut. The 5 foolish maidens came back and found the door to the wedding feast closed. "My Lord," they cried, "open the door to us." But he replied, "Truly, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." The laborers in the vineyard. Once there was a landowner who went out very early in the morning to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. After agreeing to the usual day's pay, he sent them off to work. 3 hours later, the landowner saw some men standing idle in the marketplace. The landowner said, "Go and join the others in the vineyard, and I promise to pay you a fair wage." So off they went. Around midday, the landowner made the same arrangement with more men standing around. At 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. An hour before sunset, the landowner went out, and again he saw some men standing idle. "Why aren't you working?" the landowner asked. "Because no one has hired us," the men answered. So the landowner sent them to the vineyard to work with the others. When evening came, the landowner told his servants, "Call the laborers and pay them, beginning with the ones who came last and ending with those who came first." The men who had become working 1 hour before sunset came and were paid a full day's wage. When it was time to pay the laborers who had been hired first, they expected to be paid extra, but they were paid the same amount as all the others. They began to grumble. These latecomers have only worked an hour, yet you paid them the same as us who have stood and sweated in the hot sun all day long. The landowner turned and said to one of them, "My friend, I'm not being unfair to you. You agreed to the usual wage, didn't you? Take it and go home. Surely I am free to pay the last men the same as you. Do not be angry if I choose to be generous. So the last will be first, and the first will be last."
None of us can earn our way into heaven, but we can study the scriptures, ask God for wisdom, and always be in readiness. May we not just believe in God, but belong to God. Amen.
Amen. Please sing the hymn, verses 1 through 3, "His Eyes Is on the Sparrow."
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, by one step I may see, His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He set me free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Our scripture lesson is Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in a native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "Ah, they are filled with new wine." May God bless those who read his word.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. Happy Memorial Day and happy Pentecost. Don't you love that song, "His Eyes is on the Sparrow"? Every time we sing, that's absolutely a wonderful song that reminds us how much God loves us, how much he cares for us. Amen? Amen. If any of you are is in a situation that discourages you and make you disheartened, hear the message that God is there with you, God loves you, God watches over you, and everything will be just fine because of his presence in your life. I pray that each of us will have a personal visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, and that you may have the same kind of experience that the people in the early church experienced in that upper room while they were praying, so that you may experience the spiritual awakening in your personal lives, and that God's churches here and everywhere may experience the great spiritual revival. A new believer had many questions about his faith and how God operates in his life. He was marveled at the open communication between God and humans through prayer, but did not quite understand the patience to wait for God's answer. He wished to ask God about God's concept of time and what to pray for. One day, while he was meditating quietly in his living room, he had a visit with God. He could not miss the opportunity and immediately asked, "God, how long is a million years to you?" God replied, "I live in eternity. Million years is a brief span, just like a single second, my son." The man was so excited hearing the answer and quickly moved on to his next question. "How valuable are $1 million in your eyes?" The Lord replied, "Everything in the universe belongs to me. $1 million are just like a single penny." By this time, the man had a revelation about God's math. So he asked God for a small favor. "Well, Lord, could I have one of your pennies?" God promptly replied, "Sure, my son. Just a second." Let's look at prayer from the perspective of the time. Do we pray for something that has already happened, or what is going on now, or will happen in the future? Most likely, we pray for the things happening now or will happen. If our prayer is related to things of the past, we would probably want the past mishaps not to affect us today and tomorrow, or good things in the past to continue today and in the future. This morning, I'm going to focus on prayer as requests, prayer requests, and differentiate prayer requests from the prayer of thanksgiving. Usually, when we pray for good things that happened in the past, we offer praises and thanksgiving. We thank God for the help in the past, for delivering us from the stormy blasts, opening a breakthrough when we were at life's dead end. On the other hand, our prayer requests are usually related to present or future events and situations. More specifically, when we say grace over the meal, we usually do it before eating. Our prayer for loved ones are for God's intervention in their lives, which is yet to happen. From this perspective, prayer precedes what we pray for. Now, look at what happened on the first Pentecost. In the same manner, the believers' prayer preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The resurrected Jesus stayed with his followers for 40 days and made a specific charge to them to remain in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. After his ascension on the 40th day, 120 followers stayed together in the upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper. And Acts 1:14 says, "All these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer. For the following 10 days, they prayed without ceasing." The only activity other than praying as a group during those 10 days was to choose Matthias as a new disciple to fill the vacancy of Judas Iscariot. And as we just read, Acts 2:1 begins with, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." So put those two verses together. The verses on Acts 1:14 and 2:1 imply that they had been staying in the same upper room and had been praying from the day of ascension until Pentecost. The dedication to the life of prayer preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. The unceasing prayer preceded the breaking language and cultural barriers for the gospel for the world mission. And this happened again later in the church history in the 18th century. The prayer movement was started by Moravians in Germany in 1727. Moravians were influential to the Wesley brothers in their cultural awakening, which led to the worldwide revival. Count Zinzendorf hoped to establish a Christian community at his estate at Baseldorf in Germany. He allowed persecuted Christians from Moravia, that is today's Czech Republic, to build a new town in Hernert next to his town, Baseldorf. Zinzendorf and the refugees committed themselves to prayer and experienced a great spiritual revival in May 1727. 3 months later of the same year, 24 men and 24 women pledged to pray 1 hour every day. Subsequently, the members of the Moravian Church commenced the hourly intercession around the clock, which continued incessantly for the next 100 years. John and Charles Wesley went on board a ship to come to Georgia to do the mission for American Indians and Moravians on board the ship, and continue their relationship with them before and after their mission. John Wesley had a historical conversion at Moravians meeting in Aldersgate Street, London, in May 24, 1738. 11 years after the Moravians started around-the-clock prayer movement. Moravians' dedication to the life of prayer led the conversion of John Wesley and then worldwide spiritual awakening. The scripture testifies, and the church history proves, that behind every spiritual awakening is the power of prayer. The fact that prayer is the must for revival explains why the churches are dying today and why people are moving away from the faith communities. It is because the dedication to the life of prayer no longer backs up the churches and believers. You know, I think I shared this personal testimony some time ago. I came like 1990s to United States, I mean to Boston to study. And then about a year later, following summer, I went back to Korea. And, you know, of course, you know, after the first year in this foreign country, I was all burnt out, exhausted, and emotionally drained, and spiritually drained. But a strange thing. I mean, I don't know what it was, but when I arrived in Korea, I somehow got this spiritual rejuvenation. And after a month later, I came back and all rejuvenated, and I could continue on. About a year later, I went back to Korea, and the vibe that I felt was completely different. It was very depressed. I couldn't feel the same vigor, the spiritual vigor that I felt a year before, and I thought that was very strange. And you know, guess what happened? Within a year, Korea suffered a huge financial collapse nationwide, and they had to borrow money from the International Monetary Fund. I mean, that to me was very weird. And I felt like that, God was telling me that, You know, I mean, many of you know Korea now is, Korea has risen from the ashes about 70 years ago to one of the world's biggest economy today, right? But as God blessed them, they became negligent in to the life of prayer. And that's how I felt. That's how I felt then. Anyway, Jesus called the temple the house of prayer, so should the church be. We should be the house of prayer. Are we the house of prayer? Without prayer, churches and believers are spiritually dead. How can our church in Yucaipa experience the revival of the Holy Spirit? We all need to be united as one and devote ourselves to prayer as those 120 followers of Jesus and the Moravians did. Our prayers will result in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our church, and that's the spiritual principle. If you feel like, dry emotionally and spiritually, you know why? Because it tells you that you are lacking a very important part of your life, that is the dedication to the life of prayer. Jesus operated with the same spiritual principle of prayer before a faithful event. He prayed before he fed thousands of people with a couple of loaves of bread. Jesus prayed before he raised the dead Lazarus. Choosing the key followers for the gospel was a significant part of Jesus' public ministry. And Jesus prayed, the gospel said, all through the night before he chose 12 disciples. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before facing the cross. All of those examples speak that prayer was the believer's main tool to prepare for future events. People know the importance of preparation and say the future belongs to those who prepare for it. By failing to prepare, you are prepared to fail. Before anything else, preparation is the key to success. And how do we, the believers, prepare for our future? I'm going to share with you a prayer that my mom wrote sometime before her passing. And none of her children had any knowledge of it until one of my sisters happened to find it in a note. And she wrote it in Korean and I translated it. And it goes like this. My wife warned me last night, oh no, don't become teary. I'll try not to. And it goes like this. When I shall go to the land of my Lord, when will I be awakened at the sight of Jesus, my bridegroom? How long shall I ache for you? Isn't it true that life is a constant struggle on rugged path? Time and again, I had nowhere to go amid despair. With a prayer of hope and unassuming endurance, I gained vigor. Hope, faith, joy, and humility are the beautiful gift you have granted unto me. Now, O Lord, allow me to prepare to resign far away, that I may leave all that I have cherished, that I may win the long-fought battle at last. My heart is tender as wildflowers in love with rain. May I go my home, O Lord, the heavenly land on the night of autumn rain. I shall return to heaven like a star in the dawning sky, tasting the early morning dew, I shall return home. I call you with a yearning heart. And await your voice, O Lord. Being shaken bit by bit, my pain gets matured. Now again I become quite weary. Now and again I become heavy-hearted. I long for the very day of rendezvous with you once more. My love, it did not ache to put into the pupil of my eyes the dearest one who have been the supreme blessing from the divine. Those precious have made me taste the true heaven on earth. Endless forgiveness has awarded me this long life. Solitude, but with joy on the steep hill of motherhood. Though shaken by sorrow, I have endured as I clung unto you. How many times have I tried to love with an open heart? How many times have I failed to love with a pure soul? Now I shall leave the past in its past. Now I shall be as vast as the Pacific Ocean, which swallows all the bitterness but abounds in its richness of life. Did I not possess anything but beautiful sons and daughters of six? Handsomely they have grown and flourished. Even the birds in the air know my beloved one in such a way. What do I wish for more? I came empty-handed, I shall go empty-handed. So happy a person I am, so thankful heart I am filled with. I have been granted this supreme bliss. I await the day of the Lord's coming with patience. Amen. And she concluded the prayer. And you know what was the most striking thing was? After I read this poem, prayer, I realized that my mom passed away all in the morning. And the day of a burial, it rains cats and dogs, as she wrote in her prayer. I mean, that's to me a very weird, but that's exactly what happened. My mom get up early in the morning and spend time in prayer. That's what most Korean, do, right? And that's what her routine was all through her lives. And she got up early in the morning as usual, and my father noticed that she did. And then she sat on a couch. And then shortly after that, she fell. All in the morning. And it took us about 2 hours to drive to the burial site. And on the way, I thought that we would be soaked to the skin in the pouring rain. But as soon as we arrived at the burial site, the rain stopped completely. And the sun was shining brightly. So, I mean, we had a beautiful burial there. But it was just rain all throughout on the way. To me, Mom prepared her departure with prayer. How do we begin our day? By praying ahead. How do we conclude our day? By remembering the blessing from God with thanksgiving and preparing for another day with prayer. Prayer paves the way before us. Praying ahead is the best lifelong practice to prepare for the future. Amen.
Now we will have our presentation of our tithes and offerings.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gift. Praise His
Jesus Christ, whose power alive. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, we are forever grateful for your presence in our lives. We've been blessed in every possible way, better than what we have imagined. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you thanksgiving as we acknowledge your blessing upon us in our lives. So, Lord, we give you this thanksgiving from our hearts and from our lives, and we ask your blessing upon it, that it may be used to build your kingdom through the ministries of this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne, and make all wants and wishes known. In season worst and grief, my soul has often found relief, and of escape the tempter's snare by the return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, I feel the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits born with strong desire for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer.
Where'd that go?
Believe his word and trust his grace. I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful reminder how important the life of prayer is. So, Lord, we ask your empowerment upon each and every one of us that we may be able to commit ourselves to the life of prayer without ceasing, upholding everyone that we see in our life circle, upholding your church here in Yucaipa and everywhere, that we may join together and pray for another great spiritual awakening. Your churches here on earth, O Lord, need the revival, another revival, so that we may be revived, we may come back to life and be revitalized again. So we ask you, O Lord, and your Holy Spirit to bless us so that we may grow as a church once more, that we may see this sanctuary filled with people worshiping you, praying together once more, that we may see your glory happening not only here in Yucaipa, but all your churches everywhere in the world. And that is our prayer, O Lord. We pray for another great spiritual awakening in this world today. So bless us, O Lord. Bless your churches. Bless your servants here and everywhere, that we may work together to bring that spiritual awakening once more. And we commit ourselves to be the disciples that you want us to be, faithfully preaching the message that you have commissioned us to preach. And we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us and empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Send us forth, O Lord, with your blessing, with the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, we will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there. Love, love, love.